Hello there, and welcome to Circle Radio. I'm happy to be here. It's going to be a very interesting show, very powerful one, and a deep one. I know that a lot of caregivers will join us either live or on the archives, and will listen to this show. So today is Wednesday, June 17th, and it's going to be a very... I think it will be a helpful show, a show that will open doors to a bunch of people here, and it's going to be very interesting to see that Roger has already joined us. Greetings, Roger, as you always say, greetings. And, you know, before everything, if you would like to join us during today's show on, you know, using the telephone, you can do that, but let us know before. Send us a message either on the message board or the chat box, and we'll be happy to do that. I'm sure you have a lot of things that you would like to say as your experience showed you and guided you as caregivers in different examples and on and on. If you want to share those shows, it's really not a big problem. You just click the share button and you share it on Facebook, Twitter, or any kind of social media. And I think that, you know, if you haven't visited us on our website, www.sotem.org, I think it's about time. We have a lot of things to offer to you, a lot of things that we can do, but we need to do them together. So that's going to be a very brand new beginning to many of us, and I'm sure that we'll see a lot of people from all over the world, because caregivers is kind of like a language, a global language. In some point, we all get to experience what it is like to be a caregiver, and the difficulties and the satisfaction and the energy of what, you know, the energy that you receive as a caregiver and also give as a caregiver. So, and I'm so glad that we chose this this topic, because it seems like some of us find ourselves stepping up into the role. This role of caregivers, and it's either with or without our conscious decision, it just happens. And when it does, it's kind of like overwhelming at first for some people, but with a little bit of guidance, and the hope is that this show will give a little bit of light, a little bit of guidance to those who just step up to be caregivers, either the first time or not. We'll get inspired, we'll get some energy to use to help their loved ones, whichever they might be. So I think that without doing, a lot of things that I already said anyway, I will pass a talking stick to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Just seeing what people are already starting to comment, which is nice. So as you were opening this up, a lot of things were already coming on. Jonathan is here with eight people. They're from Down Under. And Running Elk just came on. He's here with 11 people. So we have some groups again. And then we also have some individuals. So caregiving. Caregiving is... It'll be an interesting show for sure. There's a lot of different kinds of caregiving. And, you know, in some ways people say, well, caregiving is caregiving. No, not necessarily. And not to put a lot of labels on it. But there are differences. And so we have people who are caregivers at different levels here and or have been caregivers at different levels here. You have your primary caregivers, and that's generally the one closest to the person who is ill, most often a spouse, but it can be a child or a parent. They're the ones who are pretty much 24/7 involved with the person who requires care. I've been down that road, and I know some of you have because you've shared it. You know, I had 6 messages about this show, which I find really interesting. That doesn't usually happen. So I know for a fact we have a minimum of 4 caregivers here today who are currently dealing with caregiving, possibly more. So we welcome you and really respect the fact that you're listening. You may or may not comment. It's certainly your choice. It's not easy when you've walked as a primary caregiver to say a lot about it. I was the primary caregiver for my previous wife who passed away of cancer for 3.5 years. And that's 7 years ago. And I still haven't really completely talked about it. You know, I bring it up occasionally, but I don't really talk about it. I will today if we need to. We have others who will be talking today who are secondary caregivers right now. We have others who have been primary caregivers in the past. Secondary caregiver is usually some family member, child, parent, even grandchild or grandparent, who is helping with caregiving, but it's not the primary. They're not the one who has to do it all the time. Also, a very difficult job. Each of these things are very difficult, as it is for the patient who requires the caregiving. And we'll talk about that some today, too. There's already a comment on that that has come up. So let me just open this with something from Rhonda, which is an interesting comment, and I never thought of this, but she said, you know, when we were little, we learned to care for others with a pet or younger siblings. Now many step into the larger roles, or have already, to someone close to them. It is, in a way, still training to care for someone who needs us the most, the Earth Mother, and thus all life. And I've been thinking about that since she put that up a little while ago. She actually sent it to me before the show started. And that's kind of a separate branch, I guess, of caregiving. I know when I experienced it for those 3.5 years, it was incredibly intense. And I kept asking myself, you know, why is this happening? And, of course, there's no answer to that. But it's hard not to ask those questions because we are, after all, human. And, of course, the more sympathetic we are, the more we feel people's emotional energy, the more deeply we walk this path. And so we really will welcome questions. Again, there are some of us here who have been primary caregivers, some who are primary caregivers now, some secondary caregivers, some caregivers from a distance. I hope Sue manages to get on today. Let's see if she's not. She's not made it yet. She's acting as caregiver to her father at a distance, which is, again, another layer of caregiving. So that's my opening thoughts. Sharon, back to you.
Yeah. There are a lot of types of caregivers, but I think the collective energy, it's kind of like we're all caregivers in any level whatsoever. And every level means something, and every level contributes to the one that is in the center. And I like what Rhonda said. I'll just reread it again, because it's such a big thing to say. You know, when we are little, we learn to care for others, with a pet or a younger sibling. Now, many step into larger roles or have already to someone close to them. It is in a way, still training to care for those, for the ones who need us most, the Earth Mother and those all alive. And, you know, it's kind of like it's amazing how energy gets to be exchanged between us and others, and, you know, and of course us and the Earth Mother and vice versa. I mean, when we think about it, when we think about the Earth Mother for a minute, she's I think she's the bigger caregiver there is, and she gives that energy to us. She takes care about us, I think that we give that to her, or at least we need to. Some people do. Some people care for her. And I was watching, and it's really funny, I was watching Longmire the other night, and I saw that the story about the first warrior, about the Great Spirit, and the Great Spirit told this warrior, don't fight for me, fight for your people, fight for your family. And yes, the family is again, this, the family is much more than mom, dad, brother, sister, grandmother, grandfather. It's a community. It is a heart. It is a tree of life that we all need to take care and to nurture every day. And that is also not an easy job. We see people that argue every day, either it's within our inner family or friends or beyond that. But the thing is that it is hard because we don't, sometimes caregivers don't always see that they don't use energy, and they use force and power, and you know, because they care, but they lose their energy and they don't care of themselves, and of course they can't take care of those they care about, and we need to find a balance between how to give and receive, because the caregivers are also receivers of energy. And we will talk about it during the show, but I really, I'm also fascinating that I see more, you know, most likely that, I think that it will continue to grow in this way, that more and more people won't be here on this radio show as individuals, but they will form as groups, like Running Out group or Jonathan's group. More and more will sit in groups together and connect and communicate from one group to another. And I think that's really beautiful thing to see. I think the ancestors and the Great Spirit are here with us, guiding us, be the ultimate caregivers there are. Talking Sick is in the middle.
Yeah, and I see Sue has appeared, so we'll pass it to her.
Sue?
Hi. Yeah, hi, everyone.
Oh, hi.
Wow, being a caregiver or a caretaker, you know, it starts within ourselves. It's, you know, it has to start with us. And I know the Earth Mother, she takes care of us. We have to take care of her. And also, you know, as we age and as our parents have aged, it's all a balance. It's all giving and taking. But sometimes we end up, you know, as caretakers, doing too much, and we start neglecting ourselves. And I know from my own experience, I haven't had to take care really of anyone on a 24-hour basis other than, you know, my child growing up, and then taking care of, you know, grandchildren as they grew up. But there's just so much to this, and it's really important to first take care of yourself. Do what you need to do to keep yourself in balance, and do what you can for the Earth Mother to help keep her in balance, and also taking care of the needs of others around you. And it's balance is the key in everything that we do. Talking stick is yours, Jim.
Okay, so there's a lot of things being said here. And, yeah, I did. So a couple of people were asking me who didn't quite hear what I said at the beginning. For me, yes, I've been caregiver to a number of people, but I was primary caregiver to my previous wife who passed away of cancer 7 years ago. So, yes, for 3.5 years, I was primary caregiver, and it was pretty much 24/7. And so, yeah, any questions about that, feel free to ask. I will be as honest as I am able. There's several streams going on here. Let's start with Roger, if we may. Roger says, many of us end up being a caregiver to a primary caregiver. They, too, desperately need a place to unload. That is incredibly true. And not only a place to unload, they need support as much as the person who they are caring for. This is absolutely, and I was nodding my head here as Sharon was talking a little while ago. This is a circle thing. Caregivers... Primary caregivers are under incredible stress, again, if they're sensitive at all. And it is constant, because you feel like, boy, if I miss anything at all, the person may experience pain, may even die. And so you are on alert all the time. In a way, you're in fight or flight constantly. It takes quite a toll, and there is actually a large percentage of caregivers. I don't remember the numbers. I did back when I was in that position, who get sick or sicker than the person needing care, and sometimes pass away before them or just after them. And so the caregiver and the person getting care both need assistance, help, something. I remember for me working with my wife, Bonnie, she did not want to go into any kind of facility. And so I committed it to her, if it was possible, to do the best I can, that she could stay home and pass away there. And so that opened quite a road. And it was extremely difficult. It absolutely pulled my health down, which I was already having trouble with before this began. But it was interesting because at one point, maybe a year before she had enough, maybe a little less than that, actually, probably less than that. We talked about hospice, and she said, I really don't want hospice. I'm just not feeling I need that yet. And I remember sitting there and saying, well, I do. and I'm chuckling just because I remember that time, because then she laughed and she said, you know, I'm sorry, I never thought of that, but of course you do. And so we got that help. And I think anyone in that position, you've got to be willing to ask for and accept help, but only when you're asking for and accepting it, which will bring us into the next stream. But first, let's see if anyone has any more thoughts on this part that Roger brought up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's not, of course, it's not easy for any of the sides. And even a whole bone thing, which is, I believe it is the essence of being a light caregiver, the one that can really help, and without losing energy, it's really, really difficult. I'm not talking about just the emotions, sometimes the physical elements get in the way, and we simply don't take care of ourselves. We need to support each other like a family, like a tree, like the sun supports a plant or a flower. We need to give strength to those who will give strength to someone else, and we need to receive that strength from something else or for someone else. And I think the best thing to do is what Sandra just said here, which is often the best help is not to say anything at all. Don't give advice if you haven't walked this path. And that's totally true. Sometimes any advice, any word that will come up of, you know, between the people won't be helpful at all. Either you have the experience or the heart. That's out of the question, of course. But I think once you understand with the energy what's going on, you will know that sometimes you don't need to say or give advice. And I believe that what Roger said was, you know, it was about personal experience that he had gone through. So thank you, Roger, for bringing this up. And I think it's really, really critical because there is no one type or one level of caregivers. I mean, it's a continuing energy that this stream needs to continue and flow itself all you know, on and on. So I agree. I agree and I like that. Especially right now for me, I'm dealing with my grandmother who is very, very sick. So for me, it's like that as well. So thank you for kind of like saying that and mentioning that. Talking Stick is yours, Sue.
Yeah, it brings memories of my son's grandmother. He was just only about a year or two when she got cancer. And I, you know, I once again I wasn't a caregiver, but I could see what was happening to her, you know, my son's grandfather, taking care of her, and I was there actually the day that she finally died, and she was at home. But what I think happens more often than not is my son's grandfather ended up passing away himself with cancer 6 months later, and so you know that in itself can tell you how hard it must be on the caregiver, especially if you're not, you know, truly trying to take care of yourself. And I can't imagine what it's like, because, like I said, I haven't been there. But you know, looking back, I can see how it can affect you, and you know, knowing what I know now, you know, as far as you know, spiritual growth and walking in balance, and doing, you know, taking care of yourself. And it works with everything. I mean, you can't take care of anybody else unless you're fully taking care of yourself. And that goes for many different things as we, you know, as we walk on this planet, in this body that our spirit contains. Talking Stick to you, Jim.
And okay, people are really asking a lot of deep things, which is great. I appreciate you bringing all of this out. And what Sandra mentioned, you know, about advice, boy, I could sure second that. But there's a lot of people mentioning a similar thing. So let's see which ones here to just emphasize it a little bit. Okay, so Sandra said sometimes the best thing is don't give advice if you haven't walked the path. And, you know, that's true, because you really don't understand it if you haven't walked it. I certainly did not. And going into it, boy, I didn't know what to do. And I did have a couple people who would share with me on occasion. They'd ask, do I want to talk? Because they had been there. Those were the ones I could talk to. They understood the pain. They understood the frustration. They understood the panic. They understood all those pieces. And so you could share without feeling like you were coming off like a fool. So caregivers, if there is someone in your life that you know who has walked the path, those are the ones I would suggest you try to define. Susan in Great Britain is saying, well, there's seven in Great Britain today, too. What about people telling us what to do? I walked away when I saw some people coming when caregiving my mother. And Rebecca is saying, grandmother as a paid caregiver, clients do not like bossy caregivers. Need respect at all times. Had many of my clients complain of that problem. Harder when it's families. It's about communications and being there for the one in need, asking them what they want. And all of these are correct. And I would say that it applies to both the person needing care and the caregiver. Ask. Don't start telling them what they should do. Neither the person sick nor the person giving care. Because you will find, best case scenario, they will shut you off. But you are hurting their spirit, or you can, because you do not know what it's like, unless you've been there. And then always ask. You know, it's like that deep communication thing on anything. With all of my teachers over the years, before I dug into anything, before whatever it was, any deep thing, I would ask permission. Well, this is the same thing. That shows respect. And that doesn't mean that this is not well-intentioned by some people. It certainly is. But wrongly well-intentioned. Because also sometimes the fear of those people offering the advice makes the advice even more, well, the only word's offensive, because their fear comes through. People don't like to look at death. They really don't. When it strikes close, fear can become a big factor. So let me see what... if I miss something here.
Oh, my God.
No, I think that's a big, good area, and it's all coming from a lot of people, which I find interesting. Janie's saying, if I was a caregiver again, I would definitely make sure I got support. One of the things I've learned in life is I can't always do it myself. I'm a giver who finds it hard to receive. That's part of this same issue, but let's leave that for a minute and stick with this. What about people giving advice? And I'll be happy to share some of the advice I was given before and just after my wife's passed away, if you wish. And again, well-intentioned, but I've said this before. If anyone else gave me advice of the nature of some of the things I was being told, I wanted to take like a big old 2x4 right to their head. You're already angry, scared, you're in great pain, you're grieving. You don't need somebody telling you what you should and should not do. Your system's not ready to accept it, even if it is good advice. Stick in the middle, Sharon.
Yeah, I like that, and I totally agree. I think there is a big difference between being a caregiver than being a teacher. Those are not the same thing, although both want to help, and that's great, but it doesn't serve the same thing. I think when it comes to a caregiver, it's something that not more, not less than teaching, but a caregiver is something that it's not about giving advice. It's not about teaching. It's not about trying to guide. It's about be a supportive energy to those who need you, and expect from yourself that you will do whatever you can not to teach, because the people that need your help, they don't want you to teach them at the moment. They don't want you to guide them or to push them at the moment. They want you to be who you are, just simply as you are, and give them whatever they need, not just physically as well. I see a lot of people, like Louis here said, wow, I feel like I'm going to blow up tonight. Tonight, my wife is on oxygen and she deals with cancer. When her breathing is difficult, I feel panic in me. So I think a lot of people are dealing with that, a lot of physical things from their loved ones that can affect the physical things within the caregivers themselves. But when you try to teach as a caregiver, you try to give advice, you are not contributing to the healing process. Sometimes you even slow it down. Even, you know, just like Sandra said, be silent. Don't give advice. Just support. Just be there. Let the person talk to you. And even if the person doesn't want to talk, just be there for him. And if the person asks you to leave, to let him or her be alone, then do it. Just do it. Be a whole of bone. That's part of it. I see that Louis said, I feel I will die during this process or right after my wife. How did survive? You know, Louis, first of all, I send energy to you and your wife for going through this together. Cancer is not just for the person who is dealing with the physical symptoms, but for those who are supporting, who are being supported, like you. I think that in this process, maybe Jim can tell you a little bit more than that. I think the process, and a lot of people in my family had cancer, some survived, some didn't. The process of death is also rebirth. It kind of like sucks everything out of you, but that's how you feel, but it's not really like that. The life force, the chi, that is in you, is up to you and you alone. What you need to release, you are already releasing. But anyway, take it step by step, no matter what happens. Just take every day step by step. And with time, and, you know, walk with patience as much as you can, with time, be able to, you know, to bring yourself to breathe in balance, to walk in balance, like to really to rebirth. You learn how to do things from the begin with, and you will learn how healthier you will get in many, many ways. But anyway, I'm sending energy anyway. Back to you, Jim, or Sue, whoever wants to take a talk with sick.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, you have anything to put into this part?
Just a lot of healing, light, and energy to all those who are listening, who are suffering, and maybe not so much. Well, in a way, yeah. If you're caring for a loved one who is so sick, and you know that energy is, you know, they're losing their light and energy. Let's see. I think I lost my train of thought. I'll go ahead and pass it on to you, Jim.
I think I saw that train, and I think it was going down the track. Okay. Wow. There's a ton flowing out here, folks. I knew this would be a deep one. Sharon mentioned this or suggested it a few days ago, and as soon as she said it, I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to open some doors for everybody. And this is good. This is one that it's really, really good to talk about. because someone said, I don't even remember who, but yeah, we all face this one time or another. Now, some people can't face it, and that is a reality, and they turn and run away. And sometimes that I ended up helping people and being a guide for them was because the one closest to them ran away. You know, and that's simply because they couldn't take it. Not that they didn't care. It's not anything necessarily. They just simply couldn't take it. Some people can't. This is some intense energy work, the most intense you'll ever do. So, boy, wow. Again, there's so much going on here. Lewis was saying, I feel like I will die during the process or right after my wife. How did you survive? He was asking me. Yeah, that's a rough one, Lewis, and that is not an uncommon feeling. I certainly felt it. Many of us do. And so you have to find other things. You have to find ways to take care of yourself. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, at least as best you can, well, you can't be there for the one you need to be there for. And so it's not a negative thing at all to sometimes put yourself first. And Sandra's saying here, and I'm going to read some of the things she said here and just throw them into the circle because they're amazing. And Sandra's dealing with some of these issues. And, for, you know, before I go there, though, let me just mention, because this is important, as I read hers, someone had also said, and I'm trying to find it, I apologize. It's up there somewhere. How did they talk to their husband, I believe, about this, that he has, she's been a caregiver for him for a couple of years, doesn't know how long they have. Boy, again, a very difficult one. Please forgive me that I can't find it. It is here on the stream. That is a tough one. And one way is, I would suggest, is if they're not listening to this with you, go to the archives and listen to this later. Or similar shows. I'm not saying this is the thing. You can get things to read. Talk to hospice folks. They come up with some really good ideas for resources. Just talk to your significant other. For me, that was the hardest thing with my wife. Because as some were saying here, who was saying that anyway? See, this is intense for me too, so it's not the greatest I've ever talked, but that's okay. Oh, Janie was saying, you know, how hard this can be at times. Yeah, of course it's very hard. Very intense, goes right to your core of your being. But talk to the person that you're taking care of as best you are able. Now, you run a balance. You don't want to get them upset, for certain. But you want to be able to share openly. And I had to develop that with my wife as we went along. I was so frustrated because why can't I, this healer who had worked with so many healers, why can't I fix what was wrong with her? And that was part of my internal struggle. I had to accept that, you know, that's not my, that's when I really learned. And that's when I started talking about no one's a healer. We're hollow bones and we're healing guides and we can help. But each person must go inside themselves. Once I did that, I was able to talk more. So whoever made that comment, try to talk with your spouse as best you can once again. You don't have to share everything. For me, as Bonnie got sicker, the bills were piling up and it was taking everything we had saved up. This is another problem of caregiving, and it's something Sandra touched on, and I'll read that in a minute. The bills were just amassing. I knew, everything pretty much we had. It took our house. It took our savings. And I knew I would have a pile of debt after she did pass. You don't want to share that necessarily with your spouse. They have enough to deal with. Or maybe you do. But whatever it is, you've got to be able to talk to that person as best you can, and you really, really, really have to let them talk, no matter what they want to say, no matter how painful it is. I still remember right near the end for my wife when she just looked at me and said, you know, we need to talk a little more because I've had enough now. And I knew what that talk would be, and somehow I managed to do it with her, and that was only 3 days before she passed. And so all these things can help if you're able to do them. Do what you can, though. Don't force yourself. Remember, you as a caregiver are under as much stress as the person who is ill. And I don't, pardon me, I don't mean any disrespect with that. It's different pressure, obviously. The person needing care may be facing a life and death thing. But you as a caregiver also are. So as Sandra said here, most of us have to work overtime, if not an extra job, to make up for lost income of our spouses and additional costs of the illness. This work also creates physical and mental fatigue and often leads to emotional strain. You have to guard against anxiety and depression coming in. I'm a lucky one. I don't have to, but I did retire early by choice. You have a greater share of the domestic chores, things that would ordinarily be split between two healthy spouses. Now is only handled by one. Even things you've never done as a caretaking spouse, you play the role of nurse, therapist, patient advocate, and counselor. Your responsibilities may include preparing special baths, rubbing on the salve, therapeutic massage, on and on and on. All of that and more is part of caregiving. Now, a follow-up thing that Sandra said here, which I find really important, is even with all that, and I'm behind this 1,000,000,000%, she said, I'd still make time for a short walk or going to the creek. If you don't have a life beyond the illness, you're being unfair to your spouse as well as yourself. I know the idea of you being out playing drums or walking through an exhibit in the museum defies the saintly image of the doing caretaker spouse sitting bedside. But if you don't refresh your mind, soul, and body, you'll ultimately wear out, and you may need a caretaker yourself. Everybody sit with that. That is absolutely a difficult part. And so that was a lot, and there's other things popping up here. But I thought her words were just so profound, and they struck right to my core, so I agree with them totally, that they were worth reading. Stick in the middle.
Sue, do you have anything to add?
No, I mean, I keep thinking back. And those are powerful. That's powerful, Sandra. I can understand that, and I can understand, you know, what each individual would be going through, and totally understand how, you know, we need to take care of each other. And I wanted to go back a little bit. I mean, I lost my mother last March. And then my father collapsed in June last year, and he's in a nursing home now. And my mother, before she passed away, she knew things were happening with my dad. He was losing, you know, memory and stuff on dementia. And she wanted me home. She wanted me to divorce my husband and come home. And you know, it took a lot of strength for me because, you know, I'm of that generation that, you know, family was totally, you know, 100% important, that you take care of your family. And my parents' generation, you know, that taking care of, you know, your family was taboo, you know. So, and I remember my mother taking care of my grandmother. She lived 11 years with cancer. And I felt so badly watching what was going on because my mother was really cruel and mean to my grandmother. And I never understood why. I mean, I believe she wanted, you know, she was trying to tell my mother what my grandmother what she needed to do was probably most of it. But there are so many scenarios that can come into play. And I was feeling a lot of guilt last year that, you know, maybe I do need to be there for them. I do need to take care of my dad. And I look at him now, you know, he's in a nursing home, and there is no way that I could have taken care of him. And it was not something that I could have done myself. And I know my brother also, you know, kept going back and forth. Maybe I need to move my job. He could have moved his job to another location, you know, near my dad, and kept the home and all that. And, you know, so we went back and forth with this. And, you know, it's not an easy thing for anyone. And it just, once again, I mean, it's just everyone's in a different place. And some are caregivers and some are not. Some can do, you know, what's needed to help someone else. And I just felt I was not in a place that I could do that emotionally, for one, physically, and I mean mentally, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, this is definitely show is opening up all kinds of things here, passing the stick forward.
Yeah, I think that I see from Samantha here, she said, I'm crying and sobbing. I needed this so much. Thank you all. So this show kind of like it touches people in the right places, in the places that trigger them to release the baggage of what they really did not need. This show doesn't have an expiration date, really. It's just not, it won't expire, because it seems like it's been like that for centuries, and it will continue to be like that for more. And it's really great that we see more and more people ask about it. Yeah. So, and of course, Janie said, sending love and healing energy to Samantha. Two messages here. One is from Running Elk. Not good health care here. So many must be caregivers. Also, our culture, larger families look for those who can. That is also true. We see it in different places, in your place, Running Elk, and in Africa, in some parts of Asia, in South America. There are places that, you know, they don't have good health care. And we kind of like stepping, the people kind of like stepping up to become caregivers because they care, because they want to. And that's a major difference between being a caregiver than to be a doctor, a nurse, and something like that, which I don't disrespect at all, but it's different. It's way different. There is a heart. There's a lot of heart that it requires from the inside to kind of like to be a true caregiver. And I think a lot, like major part of being a caregiver is also patience. The experience will come, and, you know, with time. In some point, we all become caregivers. So it's really interesting to see. I'm sure that there are a lot of ages here, like different generations. So it's really interesting to see how this topic can really bring people together from all over the world, but also men and women and different ages. And I see from Jonathan, we're hugging, laughing, crying, and talking here. Powerful energy and time together. We can feel our dad, mother. And I'm sure that her presence completes the circle for you, Jonathan, and his group, because we still create kind of like a caregiving energy even after the ones that we love pass. They take care of us, but we take care of their memory by teaching the next generation what happened. And that's a beautiful thing. I really think it's a beautiful thing. And Rebecca said, and then I'll pass the talking stick. Rebecca said to Running Elk, Running Elk, that is why caregiving is just not a family responsibility, but also the communities we live in, neighbors and peers, extended family. Again, that's exactly what I just said, Rebecca, at the beginning of the show. It's all about the communities. It's all about the groups that even here that are forming, and we take care of each other. We are caregivers here for, you know, to each other, even right now in this show. And that's, I don't know, it's something that it smells like good medicine anyway for me. Talking stick is in the middle.
Oh, boy, yeah. I mean, it's just flowing here. This is awesome, folks. I really do. I feel like this is like a major healing circle that we've created just amongst us. And I certainly welcome all of you to share that energy out with anyone else who needs it. And this show will be in the archives for whatever that might be worth to some. Sandra is saying we may have to have another show in this because you're only scratching the surface. And I guess I needed to cry because that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Boy, let's see. Yeah, and she gave me permission, by the way, to read what she was writing, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing that. Susan is saying, I had relatives with money who would not help, but thought they should tell me what to do. Oh, that's another big one. Yeah. And, you know, Sandra's right. If we need another show or shows on this, this is a biggie, and it will get bigger and bigger because there are a number of people leaving right now. You know, we were told that was going to occur in this time, and it is. And it's not even about how old people are or anything else. A lot of these are even younger people being dealt with. So Susan is now asking me, what can I do about that? I have not been able to forgive them since. Ah, boy. You know, that's really tough, Susan, and I can resonate to that, too. When my wife was going through this, and I shared, it was taking all our resources. Because, of course, the healthcare system we have is so, so, so broken. And, yeah, I mean, I had worked hard for years, and I had my own businesses, and I had quite a bit saved and quite a bit in IRAs and my house paid for. And my wife, money in her eye, and it took everything, plus debt. And I also had relatives. My wife's mother was a really key example. She had quite a bit of money, and she would not help at all, even though it was her daughter. And I admit freely that at that time, I was hard-pressed not to hate her. She was a very difficult, unloving, uncaring person anyway. And I don't say that to be mean. Emotions just for her were really, really difficult. I simply couldn't understand why she wouldn't help to make something easier on her daughter. But she wouldn't. And so, luckily, I suppose, I did have all those resources I could tap into. Because if you're not going to use it for something like that, what good is it anyway? So anyway, Susan, maybe a month after my wife passed away, and she was cremated, we'd both decided that's what we were both going to accept, and did not want any kind of a religious ceremony. She wanted a gathering, a celebration of her life. That's it. Which we did, and boy, there was about 80 people there. And we really had a lot of fun with that. And her mother and her sister both came. And it's a time I could have said something negative or harsh, but luckily my heart and spirit were not moved to do that. And I lost my anger right there. I can't tell you exactly how, Susan, except try to understand that it is, once again, as so many of these difficult emotions are, it is about them and their own fears. Those who can't come and do something, it's their own fears. Those who won't help with the money in, it's their own fears. Those who are constantly telling you what you should do, it's their own fears. If anything, feel sorry for them. You can open up a discussion if you want to try to talk about it. I opted not to do that. I didn't see any reason I would ever talk to those folks again, just because there wouldn't be any connection with us. But it is something to work on, not for them as much as for you. You don't want to take the rest of your walk in anger or hate because somebody did something that was insensitive or even beyond insensitive when the time is there. And, you know, someone was asking, I guess Running Elk was asking about what is some of the most difficult things that were said or harshest or whatever. Well, boy, there's a whole list, and I'm sure caregivers, we could come up with a whole ton of them. But I remember, you know, boy, people asking Bonnie and I, well, don't you think she ought to be in a hospice caregiving place? Now, this would be done with both of us sitting there, but it's like she wasn't there. Don't you think you're not able to take care of her? Don't you want to get, you know, put her in a place? And not even, you know, but put her in a place. It was those kinds of words. Other people, well, it's almost over soon. And when it's over, you'll be in a better place. They would say that to her. Again, I mean, just incredibly. And then after she passed, similar words. They would say to me, well, she's in a better place. Oh, really? Who the hell are you to say that? I remember thinking those sorts of things. Or you can talk to her anytime. Or, well, she's been dead now for 2 or 3 months. You ought to think about dating. I mean, the insensitive things that can be said are just endless. Don't let them get to you, folks. Those of you who are walking this walk now, understand that these are people in absolute fear. You know, people are afraid of change. We have a lot of people now, as we're changing times and going into a new earth, afraid of changes, afraid of stepping up and doing what they need to, afraid of helping others who are stepping over, afraid of all kinds of things. And with death-type experiences, that fear can just get people to say and do things they would never do otherwise. They don't mean it to be mean. I think there were one or two that I experienced who did mean it to be mean. Why, I don't know. I assume it was their fear as well. But most of them, I could look beyond what they were saying to what they were trying to say. Ooh, and things are still coming through here. But I'm going to pass the stick over to Sharon.
Heavy stuff. You can, again, with the advice thing, don't give advice to the one you take care of or even caregivers. We're all different. We all go through different stuff. But we need to stay connected. We need to stay one. But the best thing to do it is to truly respect one's wishes and energy and to stay connected and to be there energetically. And if that person wants to be alone, so be it. Push that person to do something that he doesn't or she doesn't want you to do. Rebecca said it is more about how something is said more than what, but when we mess up saying something we wish we hadn't, just be humble and apologize. We all mess up. And that's true. I mean, we all mess up from time to time, and we need to first of all, we need to admit that, but also we need to make sure that we don't, you know, the way we say things, sometimes it's the energy itself more than words, what Rebecca just said, and I approve, and I totally agree, and I'm going to empower what you just said. It's about the way you say it. It's about the way you receive it. And if someone else is angry at you, if the caregiver or the one that is taken care of is angry at you, that's okay. It doesn't mean that he's really angry at you. But don't make him more angry. That's the wisdom sometimes in being caregiver. I see from Ronnie Gell, from Jonathan, from Sandra, from Susan. Do more shows like that. So we will. It's okay. We will. I'm glad that you like this show. Of course, we'll do more of those shows. But again, by the way, Ronnie Gell, Jonathan, Sandra, or Susan, if you have more shows that you would like to offer to us, more topics, just send us messages, and we'll let you know what's going on with that. I mean, it's your show anyway. We passed the hour. Oh my God, how did that happen? Ooh, Sue?
Yeah, I just my heart pours out to all of you who are, you know, caretakers, and yeah, the show has been powerful. It's brought a lot of stuff up for me again. And the one thing I wanted to mention also, I spent some time with my dad in the nursing home where he's at, and I was just silently observing the different people that were taking care of these people in the home. And I got to talk to one of the women there for just briefly, and you know, to do that on a day-to-day basis, and of course these are employees, so they get to go home in the evening, and they have their time off for the weekend. But this one woman told me she was doing it for 18 years, and she would go home at night. She would just sit in the dark. She could not do anything. It was almost like this switch would turn off in her, just because her days were so intense with all the different health issues that, you know, are in these nursing homes. And like I said, my heart pours out to all of you who have been in that position and are in that position now, taking care of a loved one. And all I can do is send light and love and healing energy to all of you. And this has been a powerful show. And thanks to the circle and everyone and all the other circles that are connected. Take care, folks. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. And so things are still flowing here. Obviously, we'll do at least one more show, maybe more, because, yeah, there's a ton. I'm just looking into myself, and emotions just came at me a couple minutes ago and are pretty much overwhelming me. I'm trying to speak, and it's not easy, and usually it is for me. Usually I'm accused of having diarrhea of the mouth, but right now I'm just blabbering. But I do see Running Elk, Little Bird, in his group, says, I'm honored to be caregiver for some in my circle here. It is hard, but I see them going to new places in spirit. And thank you for that, Little Bird. You're right. And I didn't get into it today, but when my past wife died, I also had seven other people very close to me die in a very short period of time. And I wasn't the primary caregiver, but I was a secondary one with a few of them. I did learn that. I mean, I did learn, and truly, deeply, except in my soul. That's when I really understood this. We are all energy, we are spirit, and we simply transition from plane and back to plane and into a different plane and physical. And it's when I actually understood what my teachers have been teaching me for years. So I'm really glad. That's a wonderful way to kind of wrap this up and to welcome people. Please send this out if it'll help. We have a lot of people here who opened up their hearts today and are willing to do more. Roger's saying, I can't go far ATM, but I'm going out to the trees behind my house now. I need the connections. Blessings all. Catch you next time. Yeah, I think I'm going to walk outside myself after we get done here. We didn't get into that enough today, except Sandra brought it up. But once again, folks, nature, 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 nature. It's the number one thing that can keep you sane and healthy as you go through this. And we'll bring that in more into a future show. I guess, again, there's more people writing things here, but I'm not going to type any more over right now. Please stay tuned, watch, and we'll let you know when we're going to bring up a new one. Oh, stick in the middle. Who else wants to talk?
I don't know. Shall I close the show, Jim? I don't know.
I guess. Sue, anything before we go? Is she still there even?
Yeah, I'm still here. I can't let go.
Yeah.
I'm late to work here. Anyway, no, I definitely feel this could, you know, be another show and just move more deeper into it and find ways for caregivers to connect and, you know, more on the spiritual side to stay balanced themselves and as whole and complete as they can while they're taking care of their loved ones.
Yeah, and just had in my part anyway in this with a little smile. I read that from Roger a couple minutes ago. I can't go far ATM, but I'm going out to the trees now. Well, of course, I thought ATM, the only ATM I know is when you go to the bank to take money out. But I forgot that Roger is a super techie and he knows all this stuff. ATM. Thank you, Roger. Ron, take us out.
Yeah, apparently ATM is more than money, which is a good thing. Anyway, thank you so much. I see that Brock says, sending love and healing energy to all. Another fine show. Namaste. Aho. And thank you, little bird. I will empower what you just said, and I'm honored to have you in our show. And you know what? It's an honorable thing to be a caregiver for some in your inner circle. Hard, but really honorable. And you know what you do. That is what defining you to be who you are. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you everybody for being with us. We will do more shows. Don't worry about that. In the meantime, go and wash your faces, take 3 deep breaths and drink some water, of course, and continue with the day because a lot is going to happen to you since you listen to the show. See you all. This show has been a group hug. That's what Roger said. I could not agree more. Anyway, we will see you soon. Take care. This Sunday show will be a very interesting one. I cannot tell you yet, but if you have more offers to radio show, to topics, let us know. And, of course, go to our website, www.sotem.org. Check that out. And guys, if you had something that you want to get out of your chest, you can do that. here or everywhere. Don't be afraid to do it. It's great that you do that. That's the best medicine there is. And of course, share our shows if you are willing to, on Facebook, Twitter, any kind of social media. It's just one button away. Anyway, we'll see you again very, very soon. Until then, take care of yourself, your loved ones, and allow people to take care of you. Good luck. Bye.
In group hug.